This is lab number one for the School of Prophets and Seers. Our lab is entitled Dealing with Spiritual Climates. Dealing with Spiritual Climates. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, and he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. We find here that Jesus, even though he is Lord and Savior, he is the Messiah, he's God, fully manifested as man. However, he approached a certain village, and because of the people's lack of faith, okay, he was unable to perform miracles. He was unable to heal the sick and to perform miracles. So you find that having a lack of faith, or when you encounter a spiritual climate that is hostile, we talked about that last week, that is hostile toward the prophetic, does not receive the prophets, or are you coming across a people whose faith is still on a very immature level, still on a beginner's level, babe in Christ level. It's really hard. In Jesus's case, he couldn't do it, period. And so you'll find that even when God gives you prophetic words and prophetic messages for a people, many times before you can even release the word, you have to deal with the spiritual climate. Now, the spiritual climate pertains to people and places. It pertains to people and places. Many times when we think about a spiritual climate, we're thinking about churches and our workplaces and things of that nature. But a person's life has a spiritual climate as well. Everyone has their own spiritual thermostat. Remember the word of God says in the book of Revelation, I wish that you were hot or cold. If you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. And so the Lord does not want us meandering around that middle point. He either wants us all the way to the left or all the way to the right. So you'll find even when you're releasing a word to people, you have to discern where what their spiritual climate is and what that thermostat, the thermostat of their life, the thermostat of their faith, the thermostat of their relationship with God, because many times that's going to determine the manifestation of that word that you're speaking into their life. And there are many people who have received prophetic words, and they were true, authentic, God's authorized words. But because that person operated in a spirit of faithlessness, doubt, unbelief, God was unable to perform that word in their life. So sometimes when you're ministering to a person, God will reveal to you their spiritual climate, that thermostat. He'll let you know where they are in terms of their faith. And he'll use you in many instances to build their faith. I taught on a lesson a while ago about how many times before you can even release a word, many times before you release a word, that you have to build that person's faith, okay? Because they have to have faith to believe that what God is telling you that he will do. So keep that in mind. When there is a cold spiritual climate, it cannot produce miracles. So, you know, we need to keep this in mind, because many times when we're in church, especially in church services, I just put it like this, and as a prophet or as a prophetic believer, you can kind of test the atmosphere. You can tell whether it's an atmosphere that's conducive to miracles, it's an atmosphere that invites the glory, it's an atmosphere that embraces the presence of God, it's an atmosphere that provokes God to move in signs and wonders and things of that nature. You can tell whether God is there. And you can also tell, especially if the gift of discerning of spirits is really strong, you can tell whether there's demonic activity taking place, rebellion, craftiness, you know, psychic. You know, you can pick up some of these things in the atmosphere, in the spiritual climate. So it's very important to learn how to determine a spiritual climate, and don't be intimidated by it. Okay, there will be some spiritual climates to where God will just tell you, just hold your peace. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, and you'll just have to kind of ride that thing out and just observe and just be in prayer. There'll be other spiritual climates where God may use you to impact that climate. You know, he may use you to build the people's faith. He may use you to release a song or release something in that atmosphere to stoke the fires so that that atmosphere can get heated up for the glory of God to come in, to the point where the spirit of prophecy can rest in the room and to the point where people's hearts and minds are open to receiving what it is that God has for them. So even though Jesus is the Son of God with all power, with the anointing, he could not do any mighty works in Nazareth. And some of you, I'm telling you, if you hadn't already, just keep living. You're going to have some Nazareth experiences where God is going to allow you to encounter certain things, spiritual climates, because you have to have that experience. You know, you have to have that experience. Not every place that you go is going to welcome who God has called you. Not every place that you go is going to welcome the gifts that God has placed in you. And you have to know how to handle that. You have to know how to conduct yourself in that. And you have to learn, listen, not to attack the people. It's a spirit, okay? The Bible said the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You pull down strongholds, all right? You pull down the strongholds that are operating in the atmosphere, that are operating in that climate that is affecting the people's faith, and that's affecting the way that they receive the prophetic. That's what we go into the spirit realm, and we begin to contend with those things. And you know, we break up that atmosphere. For example, there was a service a few weeks ago in our church, and I you know, just kind of perceived that the atmosphere was really dry. The spiritual climate was really dry. You know, I just really didn't feel God. Not to say that the people there were backslidden or, you know, that's not to say that. But what I'm saying is there just wasn't a pull. You know, there wasn't that drawing on the anointing for the Spirit of God to move. Here's what we have to understand. Just because the people of God are gathering together, and I know Jesus said this, you know, where they're gathered together in my name. Okay, but not everybody's gathering in Jesus' name. Some people are just gathering. They're just coming together for form, fashion, tradition, whatever. So not everybody who's gathering is actually gathering in Jesus' name. But he said that when you gather in my name, touching and agreeing, that means that we're on one accord. He said, then I will be in the midst. So when you're discerning the spiritual climate as a prophet or as a prophetic believer, that climate is going to, that's going to determine how you will be able to function. If that spiritual climate is cold and if you don't have the authority to change it, then you have to learn how to endure that spiritual climate. In Jesus' case, he just left. Praise God. He did a few miracles and he went home. But in some of your cases, that may not be an option for you. So, you know these things and be aware that, you know what, there may be times that God may send me on assignment somewhere. I may have to minister in someone's home or in someone's church or someone's family or what have you. And I may not be received. You know what I'm saying? That I may not be sent to a place that welcomes the counsel that God has given me, or that welcomes the wisdom, or welcomes the prophetic word message that God has given me. You have to know how to conduct yourself in that and not turn on them and they mad and they, you know what I'm saying? Not attack them, but you have to discern spiritual climates. And in cases like that, then tap into the realm of the spirit and find out how God, what does the Lord want you to do? In Jesus' case, remember, he walked away. And in several cases, you will shake the dust off your feet and walk away. In other cases, God will use you to contend with that. Okay, he will use you to break that thing up. And for a good biblical example of that is found in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 and 6, when God was telling Pharaoh 10 times to let my people go. God used Moses, the man of God, the prophet, the apostle, before his time to go before Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents this religious stronghold system that seeks to keep the people in bondage. And so Moses had to go before the Spirit 10 times. Nine times until this 10th time God stepped in. Okay. And so you'll find that sometimes God will use you to contend and to war against and to stand against and to resist these strongholds that are keeping the people from believing God to the point that they can receive a breakthrough of the word of God that's been spoken into their life. So in some cases, God will use you to prophesy the word, right? It's a good word. God spoke the word, and this is something that he really wants to do in the person's life. However, this person is bound, okay? They're enslaved to fornication or addictions or whatever the situation is. And so you know that. Now, God is giving you the discernment to know that something is off in this person's spirit with regards to their climate. They're trying to press into God, but something is holding them back. this is what God wants to do, but something is holding them from fully releasing it and walking into the fulfillment of it. So then in some cases, in one of my books, I wrote The Spiritual Obligations of the Prophet, The Obligations of the Prophet in Spiritual Warfare. If you don't have the book, I encourage you to get it. Because in that book, the Lord has used me to detail how many times when you give a word to someone, God may use you to stand and do warfare so that that word can actually come to pass. And see, this is where, you know, many times I teach and I'll continue to teach this until God takes my breath. But as prophets, especially, it's not just enough to give somebody a thus saith. And I know we see that in people all over the country. God said, but in the word of God, the prophets had a relationship with the people. And in some cases, prophets were assigned to certain people, cities, regions, nations, and international areas. God assigns that prophet. So if they're contending against a certain, if they're releasing a word into a certain person's life, then God is also going to hold them responsible to contend against that Pharaoh. Okay, whatever that stronghold is, God will use that particular prophet to contend against that stronghold until it breaks, so that the people can actually walk in the fruit of what God is saying in their life. And here's what happened in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4-6. Thus says the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sit upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. And so you find that when Moses went before Pharaoh those nine times and released all these plagues, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said no. And so God began to move. So you have to understand this too, as a prophet especially, when you speak, even you prophetic people, when you speak, God is going to uphold your word. It's, you know, come on. God is not going to allow his word to fall to the ground. So this is the confidence. There was a word releasing class the other night about a confidence that God is giving his people. You have to know, no matter how far fetched and weird and off it may sound, you have to know, I heard God. And so you can't be moved when, you know, the person is not really receiving it, or the region is not being impacted, or the church is not moving in that. You have to understand that now you got to take your prophetic ministry to another level. You got to move beyond the thus saith the Lord and actually move into the place where Moses was, where you're confronting and contending with religious demons and strongholds and different types of demonic strongholds that are holding the people hostage to the point they can't believe God. They don't have the faith to receive God, because listen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so you'll find that it's not enough nowadays to just be prophetic. This is why we taught the School of Deliverance. And when we come back in the fall of 2016, we're going to have another School of Deliverance, because God wants prophets to know how to move in deliverance. Many of us are releasing words and we're not seeing these people manifest the words. We're not seeing them walk in the manifestation of it because they're demonic strongholds that are holding them captive. So Moses is an excellent example of how it's not enough to say God is going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. That's not enough. In some cases, you're going to have to actually roll your sleeves up, get down to the ditches and trenches with the people of God, and go and do battle for them. Do battle like Deborah did, going on their behalf and declaring and decreeing that what God said will be. And so you find that when Moses released that word those nine times, you know, nine represents maturity, represents birthing, represents a harvest. When it got to that ninth time, God said, you know what, son, step aside. It's now time for me to step in and deal with this. And y'all, we know the story. God came in, broke down Pharaoh's heart, broke down the whole country of Egypt, released the people of God, and praise God. Amen. So many times when we're dealing with spiritual climates, understand that there needs to be a breaking. And when you're coming into a workplace and you feel like there's a heavy atmosphere, God will use you to break that atmosphere open. He may use you to do worship. He may use you to pray or release a word or what have you. However God decides to do that, let him be God. But just know that you are called to impact regions and people and nations. And when we say nations, we mean people groups. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go off across the land. If you do, praise the Lord. But if not, God can still use you right where you are. He can still use you in your circle of influence. And he'll use you to do a great thing. So in Isaiah chapter 14, 17, the people marveled. And even the word of God said is that Satan, that he would not open the house of his prisoners. That's in Isaiah 14, 17, and you're the one that would not open the house of the prisoners. So understand that when you're prophesying over people and you're releasing prophetic words, that some of them are imprisoned. Some of them are in prison in demonic cages, okay? And God is going to use you to not just release the word, but to also shake prison bars open and let the people go so that they can serve God, so that they can walk into their callings and their giftings and be delivered from certain addictions and bondages and so forth. So, you know, as we get ready to close, our lab assignment is I'm looking for one individual situation. Whether it's a person or you were at work or in a church situation to where you know God wanted to move, but for some reason there was a blockage there. And what I'm looking for is, you don't have to give me people's names or names of churches, and I'm not looking for that at all. But what I'm looking for is just an example of a situation to where you saw that God really wanted to move. God really wanted to do a thing, and there was a stronghold there. And then what I'm looking for is, how did you react? If you didn't, it's okay, because you know what? Maybe you didn't know that you had the authority to do that. Because if God brings something to your attention, then he's going to empower you to deal with it. So if you didn't do anything with it, that's cool. What I'm looking for is that you understand now about spiritual climates and what some of our responses may be. Number one, your response may be like Jesus, do a few things and leave. Another response may be to contend and do warfare. And another response may be just leave, period, without doing anything. Okay, just based upon whatever God tells you to do. And again, three different examples. Either you do a few miracles and you leave, either you shake the dust off and you leave, or you stand and you contend like Moses did with Pharaoh. So those are the three examples that I'm looking for, three resolutions, rather, to that problem. Again, the lab assignment for lab number one is a situation in a place or with a person to where you were able to discern the spiritual climate, things that God wanted to do, and you saw a resistance there. What happened? Okay. And, you know, again, you don't have to go all out and feel, you know, don't let the enemy condemn you. Well, I didn't know. And, oh, have mercy, God. I'm not looking for that. I just want to know that you're aware from this point forward that when you encounter a situation like that, you know how to handle it. All right. So that is lab number one, dealing with spiritual climates. Amen. And we pray that you have enjoyed this assignment, and we look forward to the next time. God bless you.